On every wall and in every corner of Scarlett Lewis's living room are gifts from around the world.
Handmade shawls, prayer blankets, toys, ornaments.
And paintings of Jesse are everywhere. She says each one, no matter how skillful, has really touched her.
We're looking at the generosity of spirit of an entire world towards somebody that is grieving. And it's really incredible.
Lewis is separated from Jesse's father. On her cell phone, she keeps a voicemail message Jesse left for her from his dad's place.
Oh, what you doing? Yeah, I'm ready to rock and roll. Bye.
It's the dichotomy of my life, right? It's so beautiful and wonderful to hear his voice, and yet it's so terribly, agonizingly sad.
Lewis walks into the kitchen and points to a green area next to the oven, which was painted to be used as a chalkboard.
And we really didn't use it.
But there on the chalkboard, in a child's handwriting and spelling, are three words. It says, nurturing, healing, love. These are words that your average six-year-old just doesn't usually scrawl on a chalkboard. Lewis says it didn't come from her.
No. I mean, I don't remember ever saying anything like that. That's what makes it even more special.
She says she took it as a message of personal comfort from Jesse. She sees a lot of these messages in her life today, and everything from the discovery of a toy soldier in her shoe to the flickering of a light bulb, she believes Jesse is still communicating with her.
My favorite quote is one from Albert Einstein, where he says, paraphrased, you can live life as if everything is a miracle or as if nothing is a miracle. And I choose to believe that everything is a miracle.
The words on the chalkboard, nurturing, healing, love, became the name of the book Lewis wrote about her journey over the last year. And it became the spirit of a foundation she started, which is developing school curriculums about compassion, gratitude, and forgiveness. Lewis says the foundation and various kinds of therapy helped her deal with her loss. But Jesse's 13-year-old brother, JT, was still struggling. Lewis says he didn't want to go to school.
I wouldn't be up to the resistance. And so I would just let him stay home.
Things got better after an unusual encounter. Lewis was working with a therapist who had done work with orphans of the Rwandan genocide. And the therapist suggested they connect with the Rwandans by Skype. They gathered in front of a laptop in JT's room one day, and JT was struck by the stories the Rwandans shared.
Matthew, who I got close with, his mother was killed in the genocide, and he and his siblings ran into the hillsides and had to eat grass for the whole civil war.
JT decided to sell bracelets to raise funds for one of the Rwandan girls he'd spoken with.
What I did is I raised enough money to, for the first year, to pay for her family to live and her to go to college.
Lewis says the change in JT was immediate.
He got himself up for the first time and got to school and came back happy and invigorated.
For JT, hearing how the Rwandans were doing now was reassuring.
I mean, it's already happened to them and they got over it and were able to forgive. So to hear it from them, and they've gone through something much worse than what we've gone through, it was comforting.
He says, like the Rwandans, he's managed to forgive the person who did this to his family.
It wasn't hard to forgive when I was never really mad. I was just sad.
Lewis says she, too, has forgiven the shooter. And she says that is crucial to her healing process.
It's taking back your own power. And it's saying, I forgive you. I don't condone what you did, but I'm taking my own power back and I refuse to let you make me be in pain or anger or have any control over my emotions.
Learning to forgive, she says, has freed her and JT. So even though they'll always grieve for the loss of Jesse, they can move forward with their lives. Craig LaMolt, WSHU News.